Also, much like human cognition, essentially you can overthink a problem. And this is also, or was a problem with the reasoning models like O1, the early reasoning model cut here. And that's why they suggested that you keep your prompts simple and vary them a little bit from a traditional prompt that you would have used with an earlier version of the LLM. Lastly, and maybe most interestingly, the TPO model actually showed decreased performance on some math tasks compared to the standard models. So it's almost like you give it a little bit of creativity, a little left brain, and suddenly it becomes a worse at math and the right brain suffers. So maybe it's kind of like humans in that regard too. What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the AI Marketing Navigator. This is your daily compass in the ever-evolving world of AI marketing. Okay, navigators, we have another Daily Digest episode for you today. Lots of AI news to talk about, all of it affecting the general state of AI and AI tools, and therefore definitely going to be affecting us as marketers who use those tools. Major shout out to the rundown.ai newsletter. This first story that we're going to talk about was curated by them. And I'm just going to summarize the rundown that Rowan gives in the newsletter. And then the two studies that we're going to talk about and review after that were also linked to in the most recent newsletter. So if you haven't yet, go subscribe to the rundown.ai. You won't regret it. It's honestly got all the best AI and latest AI news every day, every weekday, and an amazing university for tips and tricks and AI workflows, all that stuff. Okay, first things first, this is a news story that the New York Times is now taking legal action against Perplexity AI, and that's the AI search engine. We've talked about Perplexity a lot before, and it's one of my favorite AI tools, especially recently. And now you can add Perplexity to the list of AI companies that the New York Times is taking legal aim at for the use of their publication materials and content. As the Wall Street Journal article notes, that is linked to in the rundown.ai newsletter, links to a Wall Street Journal article about this most recent legal move. So I'll link to that in the show notes, of course. And also you can find a link to the post from the rundown.ai as well. Anyway, so the primary issue is that in Perplexity's AI overviews or in the AI information and summaries that are provided in their search tool, there is content being pulled from the New York Times publications and sources, despite Perplexity apparently having already told the New York Times that they would stop scraping their information. There is still New York Times content appearing in the results in Perplexity, which has triggered this recent cease and desist order from the Times. And apparently Perplexity has also issued a response already saying that they are willing to work with publishers, but that's about all they've said. So it appears that they are clearly tiptoeing around this subject as carefully as they can, living at the edge of what is going to be legal or illegal in this AI content publishing future and not trying to commit too much at this time. But this is only the latest legal battle in AI and content, definitely not the only one. So it definitely pays to keep our eyes on how these things move forward. The New York Times is also litigating other cases against other companies like OpenAI and Microsoft. So this is very much still a developing legal area. Another theme that's become pretty persistent on the AI Marketing Navigator is the gray area surrounding a lot of these AI tools. So it's definitely something to continue to keep in mind. And I also think that this is going to create somewhat of a differentiating factor in some of these tools. If a tool can in some way guarantee or enforce copyright adherence and compliance, it is a big selling point for enterprise users, especially enterprise businesses and decision makers who are resistant to AI because a lot of these legal concerns. Which brings me to another update that I didn't really intend to include in the show, but this is the update that Adobe Firefly now has a video generation model included in that platform. And this is, again, Adobe Firefly is Adobe's AI-powered design tool, suite of tools. And the primary selling point of it is that it's completely safe to use and it's all built off of or trained off of stock imagery and content that is available and is not under copyright restriction or anything like that. Content that's actually owned by Adobe and that they have the right to use. So anyway, I think any tools that are able to, like I said, enforce that or offer that are going to be a step up on the competition in the near future here. Okay, next up is a report that was released by Anthropic, and that's the company behind the Claude LLM. And this is called their Responsible Scaling Policy, this report. And it's a framework, really, with serious commitments for AI safety and managing the risks associated with AI development. And this is a continuing trend of Anthropic's as they continue to be the quote unquote safety focused AI company. And that's always been the forefront of their mission, is developing these AI tools in a safe manner and a transparent manner that puts security at the forefront. So basically, for a high level overview, effective on October 15th of 2024, Anthropic updated their RSP, their responsible scaling policy. And this policy is all about, again, not training or deploying AI models that could cause catastrophic harm in their operation or implementation. So obviously, that would be a terrible thing. We should probably have frameworks to not have catastrophic harm happen. And I'll link to the report document in the show notes so you can read through all the details if you would like. But there are a few key things that the report focuses on as far as this framework goes. The first one that I want to talk about a little bit is ASLs, AI safety levels. And this is essentially a pretty straightforward ranking of just how dangerous or threatening any given model could be. The higher the AI safety level, the larger the risk and the stricter the safety measures should be and are going to be in the case of Anthropic's enforcement anyway. And according to Anthropic, all of their models currently must meet ASL 2 standards, so AI safety level 2 standards. So in addition to these AI safety levels, there's a concept called capability thresholds. So these are essentially specific abilities or capabilities that if the AI is able to perform, would trigger and require stronger safeguards for that AI. You can imagine as an AI increases in its abilities, the safety level is going to increase along with it, triggering these stronger safeguards and safety practices. And Anthropic is committed to requiring these frameworks and safeguards on their tools. And hopefully they seek to kind of set an industry standard as well for these evaluations and safety restrictions. Okay, so now let's talk a little bit about what types of abilities might trigger these capability thresholds, these safety requirements. One is specific to weapons of mass destruction, actually. Basically, if the AI could, quote unquote, effectively and significantly help someone create a chemical, biological, radiological, or nuclear weapon, that would trigger ASL 3 level safeguards. So obviously, that's going to be a huge concern if an AI model can help people create, I think they're called BRNC weapons or BRCN weapons in the classification that Anthropic uses. And in this case, Anthropic would immediately implement ASL 3 level safeguards. So apparently we do not have a model that can significantly help or that is capable or allowed to significantly help people create these chemical, biological, and radiological weapons, seeing as they claim or state that their models are at ASL safety level 2 right now. So they haven't triggered level 3, one can assume. Anyway, so another trigger for one of these capability thresholds would be the ability of the artificial intelligence to do autonomous R&D, autonomous research and development. If an AI can either fully automate the work of an entry-level researcher at Anthropic or could dramatically speed up the development of an AI model, that's another trigger for higher safety standards. And I think as if you're a regular listener to this show, you probably realize that we must be pretty close to reaching those standards. So those are probably ASL level 2 standards, I would imagine, considering some of the agentic abilities we've seen in some of the tools we've demoed recently on the show. And then lastly, there's a checkpoint for when AI reaches a certain level of autonomy. So this checkpoint is specifically built around how well the AI can handle complex software engineering tasks, which are really one of the best measures of how capable and autonomous an AI model is. So in order to test and check for these capability thresholds and whether or not they're actually being met, Anthropic is performing and committing to preliminary assessments, regular preliminary assessments, comprehensive assessments, and most importantly, in these reports and safeguard reports, the fact that they will be making them all available to the public and entirely and completely transparent. Illustrating that commitment to transparency, they have appointed a RSO, a Responsible Scaling Officer, who will be overseeing the implementation of this framework and this policy. They have, again, also committed to sharing their reports and information with the public and disclosing the evaluations of their models when they trigger these safeguards or these safety levels. And in addition to that, they're seeking and calling for input from external experts from the field of AI, in the field of AI, wanting to establish this as an industry expectation and an industry goal, which I think is a great thing. And they've also committed to notifying the U.S. government when these models require stronger protections. So I think overall this report is huge, and I think it's a great thing for AI safety and the future of AI. My fandom of Anthropic has only continued to increase in light of this report. And I hope that the industry adopts a similar, if not the same, framework. I know Anthropic wants to make this shareable and a standard that everybody can use together, which I definitely can get behind and I think would be amazing. Okay, and then the last thing I wanted to talk about today is a research paper from researchers at Meta regarding a new methodology for training and teaching LLMs, large language models. Again, I can and will link to the document in the show notes. Definitely check out the technical details for yourself if you want to do a deep dive. We're just going to do a little bit of an overview of some of the things covered in the paper. First of all, this new method that has been developed is called Thought Preference Optimization, TPO. Now, up until this point, that has mostly been done using chain of thought methods, COT methods. They're probably the most common method for training these large language models, which also seeks to bring in reasoning and thought to the generated responses from an LLM. But unlike these chain of thought methods, which are mainly built around math and engineering and logical tasks and questions, TPO seeks to improve the performance across a wide range of categories. And this is where I think it could really be a game changer for people in the non-engineering, non-software, non-STEM based careers and fields like marketing, for instance. Additionally, this TPO, this thought preference optimization method, does not require the extra data that is being human curated and human labeled for training. So all of this self-correction or all of this education or iterative improvement is being done to itself. The model is self-correcting and is actually hidden from the user. So this TPO kind of, again, mirrors the behavior of internal human thoughts. It's when we are, for instance, as humans answering a question or solving a problem, we have our internal monologue, our internal thoughts, and that doesn't get shared when we answer the question, obviously. So much like that, this is how the TPO seeks to work, which is both kind of fascinating and terrifying at the same time. It's kind of designed in this case to be a black box. It's not going to show us the reasoning or thought processes behind its responses. So in this case, that is actually a feature and not a bug. The model is going to be prompted to generate thoughts before responding to an instruction, which is the first step, this thought generation. The next step is sampling. So the model will generate multiple outputs, which can be viewed as thoughts, responses, pairs. So pairs of the internal thoughts and the response that they generate for each of the instructions that it is provided. And then a separate model will come in called a judge model for a judging phase, and will actually judge the response portions of these pairs. Then in an optimization step, the full outputs, both the thoughts and responses, will be used to create preference pairs based on the judgment of the judge model. And then these preference pairs will be used in the training of the LLM in an iterative repeating process, allowing the model to learn better thought patterns over time. Okay, so now let's get down to the nitty-gritty. How does this actually perform? What are the results of this TPO model? And this is where it gets pretty exciting and pretty surprising in some ways. The TPO model did outperform a lot of standard instruction following models in a number of evaluations and tests. Evaluations such as the Alpaca eval and the Arena Hard benchmarks. And I won't spend any time today getting into those individual benchmarks or evaluations. We talked a little bit about some evaluations that are being used to grade the LLM performance, compare LLMs. In a previous episode, there are numerous and there are new ones every day, but you can essentially just think of them as tests to grade the abilities or proficiency of these various AI models. And I think they're actually turning out to be some of the most important parts of AI development and the path that AI is going to take in the future. We can only really judge the AI capabilities based on how well we can test the AI itself. So if we're not able to test it correctly, how can we correctly judge its abilities? And so it's a very interesting field, actually, of creating these evaluations and comparing, basically looking for ways to trick the AI model. So we might have to do an entire episode just on these evaluations because it's pretty cool. So obviously the implications for us as marketers here are pretty huge. This is the first time that we've kind of heard that marketing specifically is a tangible skill that these models will be able to tackle. And I would be very curious to see how it tackles some high-level marketing problems, some go-to-market strategies or specific brand campaigns. Now, there are some drawbacks and limitations to the TPO model. For instance, the thought generation process does add to overall computation time. which is going to drive up computation costs, which is, as we've talked about, a huge friction point right now for these models and for advancement of AI in general. So you're always going to have a trade-off with computation and capabilities. For the most part, again, there's a race for the smallest, most efficient model to in search of an answer to that compute problem and the problem of general power, resources, and availability. Also, in some cases, the model can, quote-unquote, get lost in thought. Also, much like human cognition, essentially it can overthink a problem. And this is also, or was a problem with the reasoning models like O1, the early reasoning model. And that's why they suggested that you keep your prompts simple and vary them a little bit from a traditional prompt that you would have used with an earlier version of the LLM. Lastly, and maybe most interestingly, the TPO model actually showed decreased performance on some math tasks compared to the standard models. So it's almost like you give it a little bit of creativity, a little left brain, and suddenly it becomes a worse at math and the right brain suffers. So maybe it's kind of like humans in that regard too. Not that left brain people can't do math and vice versa. I'm sure there are many geniuses out there. That's just a generalization. Anyway, okay, that does it for today's episode. If you enjoyed the show or found it useful in any way, please do me a favor and follow on Spotify or subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. A review on top of that would be even more appreciated and is so, so super helpful to the show. So until next time, and as always, thanks for joining me, and remember to stay curious, stay consistent, and keep navigating forward. Bye.